Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tito Jayam Udirayat Nashta Prayeshwa Badresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Good morning to everyone on the call, or afternoon, depending on where you are. The text this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Text 11. Maitreya Uvacha Ganga Yamuna Yonadyo Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdan Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jihasaya. Word for word translation. Maitreya Uvacha, the great saint Maitreya said, Ganga, the river Ganges, Yamunayo, of the river Jamuna, Nadyo, of the two rivers, Antara, between, Kshetram, the land, Avasan, living there, Arabdhan, destined, Eva, like, Bhubhuje, enjoyed, Bhogan, fortunes, Punya, pious activities, Jihasaya, for the purpose of diminishing. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great saintly sage Maitreya told Vidura, My dear Vidura, King Prithu lived in the tract of land between the two great rivers Ganges and Yamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The terms pious and impious are applicable only in reference to the activities of an ordinary living being. But Maharaj Prithu was a directly empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he was not subject to the reactions of pious and impious activities. As we have already explained previously, when a living being is specifically empowered by the Supreme Lord to act for a particular purpose, he is called a Shaktivesh avatar. Prithu Maharaj was not only a Shaktivesh avatar, but also a great devotee. A devotee is not subjected to the reactions resulting from past deeds. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Karmani nidahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Brahma Samhita 5:54. For devotees, the results of past pious and impious activities are nullified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Arabdan Eva mean as if achieved by past deeds. But in the case of Prithu Maharaj, there was no question of reaction to past deeds, and thus the word Eva is used here to indicate comparison to ordinary persons. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Avajananti mam mudha, Gita, 9th chapter, text 11. This means that sometimes people misunderstand an incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead to be an ordinary man. The Supreme Godhead, His incarnations, or His devotees may pose themselves as ordinary men, but they are never to be considered as such. Nor should an ordinary man, not supported by authorized statements of the Shastras and Acharyas, be accepted as an incarnation or devotee. By the evidence of Shastra, Sanatana Goswami detected Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a direct incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Lord Chaitanya never disclosed the fact. It is therefore generally recommended that the acharya or guru should not be accepted as an ordinary man. Om Agina Tibidandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhivya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachase Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divacha Vishindaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So I'll go over the text again. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Text 11. Maitreya Vacha Ganga Yamuna Yonadyo Antara Shetram Abhasan Arabdan Arabdan Eva Bhubuje Bhogan Punya Dihasaya. The great saintly Maitreya told Vidura, "My dear Vidura, King Prithu lived in a tract of land between the two great rivers, Ganges and Yamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities." Hare Krishna. So we can all imagine, maybe some of you were living at that time in previous lives, the time when King Prithu was now king. The citizens had gone through a difficult time with King Vina. Now he's gone. King Prithu has done everything right. The demigods are happy with him. So obviously it means that not only will King Prithu be a great king taking care of the citizens like his own children. The reason we say that is Bhishma Dev, at the time he was leaving the body, he advised Maharaj Yudhisthira on how to govern. And this is one of the statements that he made. A good king treats his citizens like his own children, like a mother treats her own children. Now, King Prithu had all of the... He's Shaktivesh avatar, and great devotee of the Lord. And so, great incarnation of the Lord, not devotee of the Lord only, incarnation from the Lord, Shaktivesh avatar. So, obviously, the citizens were in for good government and good, you know, peaceful times in the kingdom. So, in this text, Maitreya is explaining to Vidura that Maharaj Prithu lived between the two great rivers, The land between them already is auspicious. Ganges is auspicious. Jamuna is auspicious. So the land between them can only be auspicious. Maharaj Prithu is living there. And when Krishna is happy with the devotee, usually everything that the devotee needs is supplied. So it was not surprising. It's not surprising to hear that Maharaj Prithu was very opulent. But kings like that are not attached to opulence, even though it's there, but they use it as a matter of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and being a good example for the people. And also, you know, serving the people with it. So yeah, there's wealth. Many of the wonderful Raja Rishis, when it comes time to go to the forest and they retire, they leave the wealth like it's nothing. Yet here in the material world, people struggle hard to get a fraction of what these great kings have for wealth. And they get attached to it to the very last breath. Even though death comes and takes it all away. And they have no control on how the money gets used or the wealth gets used after they've left. Now, the text says, because Maharaj Prithu was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune as a result of good karma. It appeared that way. And sometimes some citizens, not knowing the extent of greatness of Maharaj Prithu, may say, well, yeah, he was born and he appeared the way he appeared. It's an auspicious appearance. But here he is. He looks like a human being like all of us. And he has so much fortune as a king, so must be good past life. Good credits that put him in that position. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the term pious and impious, those terms are applicable only in reference to the activities of an ordinary living being. But Maharaj Prithu was a directly empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he is not subject to these kinds of reactions of, you know, you reap what you sow type lifestyle. So, Srila Prabhupada says, when a living being is specifically empowered by the Supreme Lord to act for a particular purpose, he's called Shaktivesh Avatar. So that's an avatar, a person who is descended to the material world. Shaktivesh means carrying the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, whatever the Lord wants done, he will do it with the same zeal and the same care as if Krishna himself came to do it, or Lord Vishnu did it. So, Prithu Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada says, was not only a Shaktivesh avatar, but also a great devotee. Well, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned a very popular personality and put him in the category of Shaktivesh avatar, none other than Lord Jesus the Christ. So Jesus is also Shaktivesh avatar, empowered by the Supreme Lord, sent here to teach at a lower level. As we know, there are, you know, professors that teach in college, and there's also first grade teachers. It does not mean the first grade teachers have less knowledge. It's just that the people they're teaching are at the level that they are at. Therefore, they teach at the level that they can understand. Lord Jesus is a totally, totally submitted Vaishnava, Shaktivesh avatar that could have taught Krishna consciousness to Christians. But the fact is, he didn't do it because they will not be able to renounce to the level that we do. They do not like to do that. Some of them, even the priests, have problems doing that. Much less the citizens themselves that are Christians. And so he taught at the level, this is his mercy, he taught at the level that they could take. And this is not only the case, it's actually mentioned in the Bible. In John chapter 16, verse 12, he says, Jesus says, I have much to tell you, but you're not ready to bear it. Because as we know in Krishna consciousness, there's preparation for it. There's regulatory principles. And you live by that, and Krishna says, Ye yatma prapadyante, tam sateva bhajami aham. You live by the regulatory principles, you do what the spiritual master tells you to do, maintain good sadhana, then the Lord reveals himself more. And Krishna consciousness just gets sweetened. Gradually, you begin to realize there's nothing more important in this world than Krishna consciousness. In fact, you begin to realize that at the end of life, the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done in Krishna consciousness. So it is extremely important that while we are still in these bodies, with whatever breaths that we have left, that we take this process extremely, extremely seriously. So, because, see, there's a little bit of tying to our 10 offenses, the fourth one, you have to be careful. The Lord's mercy is all-pervading, and it's at different levels based on what the person is able to handle. Some people just do, you know, religious type lifestyle, which my Guru Maharaj described as impotent. That's a strong word, but that's what he called it, because it doesn't take you anywhere out of the material world. You know, so to him, it doesn't really matter. And Krishna has said also in 1866 Bhagavad Gita that we should abandon these varieties of religion and, you know, surrender to him. Sarva dharma parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, moksha yishami masuchaha. Masuchaha. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the key to success. Surrender. Surrender is the key to success. Surrender means surrender to everything the Lord says to do. The Lord says, go to Guru, tadbiri panipratena parifashtena sevaya. So you go to Guru and inquire from him and serve him. And the more menial the service is, the better. Because the more menial the service is, the more humble we become, the humbler we become. So this is all tied in, connected really nicely. We follow the process, then we become less and less and less attached to material lifestyle. Less attached. We may be leading it, but we're less attached to it. Less and less attached, and we're growing more spiritually. And then Krishna consciousness becomes wonderful. The chanting becomes ecstatic. But it takes a while to get there. And so Nectar of Instruction says we have to be patient. We stay enthusiastic, stay determined, but also patient. Because the Lord is going to give us a wonderful price. See, bhakti, Srila Prabhupada says, devotional service to the Lord. Once we get given that and we grow in devotional service into purity or near purity, Srila Prabhupada describes that then we literally have purchased Krishna. Now, just think about it for a minute, to purchase Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, by purchase, Srila Prabhupada meant that now what we would like to see the Lord do, and we ourselves do, in relating to the Lord, is what we want, is what the Lord will adjust to do. If you purchase something, it's yours. So you do what you want with it. So if you purchase Krishna, then basically you're dictating how the love is going to go back and forth between you and Krishna. Now, obviously, Krishna is not going to give that to you so easily. So bhakti is not so easy. That is the aim. That's what happens. The aim is to love Krishna, but we also purchase Krishna, the purer we become. Case in point, Bhishma. Krishna said he was not going to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma wanted Krishna to fight. So Krishna had to adjust. Keep his word, but at the same time also do what Bhishma wanted. He took the wheel of a broken chariot and came after Bhishma. When Arjun was almost being killed by Bhishma. Now, the reason Bhishma wanted Krishna to fight was that such a great war, and, you know, Bhishma thinks in terms of Kshatriya. So you're looking at Krishna as a great Kshatriya. What better place to show Krishna's expertise in fighting than in a war this big for all of the pious kings and the demonic kings to see how great Krishna was? So then in Bhishma's mind, Krishna was missing the opportunity to show the whole world how great he was as a Kshatriya by saying he wasn't going to fight. So then, out of his love, wanting Krishna to show his superiority in fighting, he said, it would be a good idea for Krishna to fight, actually. So Krishna, having the Bhishma is a pure devotee, he's a Mahajan, and having purchased Krishna through bhakti, as Srila Prabhupada describes, so Krishna was obliged to do something based on Bhishma's thinking too. So that's the point that we get to from purity in bhakti yoga. Therefore, it's not an easy ride. But look what can happen in relating to the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we stay with this this royal path. So there is so much to gain and nothing to lose in Krishna consciousness that we need to take it very, very seriously. So Jesus was preaching something lower that the Christians could adjust to. The idea is later on, if they follow even the little that he taught, and it's little compared to, you know, the Vedas, and he knew the Vedas, and a Vaishnava lifestyle. He knew all of that. So that little that they get, if they take it seriously, then he takes them to one heavenly planet, and as my Guru Maharaj explained to me, Bhakti Theta Maharaj, that they will be taught what we are doing now, in a more peaceful setting, in one heavenly planet. And then, from basically, that's when they'll be taught, you know, Vaishnavism. And then they'll be able to see Krishna at that point. So that's the plan for them, even though they don't know it themselves. You think they're just going to heaven, that's all. Anyway, so why are we talking about that? So that is a plan, even through Jesus, it's the mercy of the Lord still. A little longer process, but still, they'll also get there eventually, those who take the Christianity and other religions seriously. So that's why devotees should not blaspheme Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, as it says in the fourth offense out of 10 offenses. Because even though they are spiritually at a lower category than what we are living by, still, there is a plan to elevate even people who are at that level. But Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritaj, abandon all these varieties of religions. Because for now, if you know Krishna consciousness, there's no point wasting time in these other religions. Because they're not transcendental. They're not going to take you out of the material world. So what's the point? So once you got the highest, you go for the highest. That's why, you know, Krishna says, abandon them. Even though they also talk about God. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada continues that the devotee is not subjected to the reactions resulting from past deeds. Now, why is that? When a devotee gets initiated, he gets a spiritual master. This is Krishna's arrangement to find, to give the devotee a guru that he or she can relate to. In the Diksha initiation, the past deeds, good and bad, karma, they are removed. So devotee is now not living based on the reactions from past deeds. They are wiped away. And the second thing is that the account of a devotee's life, good or bad, which is before initiation, kept by Yamaraj, is no longer kept by Yamaraj. Now it's the Paramatma that keeps count of what goes on. So the Diksha initiation removes the deeds, past deeds, good or bad, no karma for that, no enjoyment or suffering for that. That's clean, the slate is clean, and then the account is transferred to the care of the Lord himself as Paramatma. Therefore, the devotee is not subjected to reactions resulting from past deeds. Now, it does not mean that the actions not going forward, that doesn't have some things you have to look at. Because, the devotee's growth depends on how determined the devotee himself is with the sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha helps a great deal, association with devotees who are doing the same thing and doing it well. So still, the opportunity is now, no, not still, but the opportunity is there for Diksha initiation for the person to go back to Godhead. And so if we lead a life that's worthy of, you know, getting the mercy of the Lord, then there's a big chance we'll go back to Godhead. And if not, then we continue. Narada Muni has already said that whatever spiritual credits we get, the next life, it's added on. It doesn't get deleted. It's added on. So there is no loss or diminution, as he put it. Then you go on until it's time to go back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead's abode. So that's the way it's set up. Srila Prabhupada backs up this statement by Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 54. Karmani nirada nirdahati kintu chat bhakti bhajam. For the devotees, the results of past and impast activities are nullified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we explained through Diksha initiation. So Maharaj Prithu is not an ordinary being, so there's no question of him living according to these past deeds. ordinary persons, definitely, they go through that. So sometimes people make a mistake and think that persons like that, because they look like us, like human beings, that they're also going through the same situation. And with that, Krishna responds that avajanti mamudha manasim tanim asritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. This is in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11. I call it our own 9-11. So, it means that fools deride me, fools mock me when I descend in a human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So Krishna looks like a human being walking the face of the earth, and people don't realize. They think, oh, it's another man. No, he owns everything. That is the Supreme Lord, the summum bonum. Srila Prabhupada says, it means that sometimes people misunderstand an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be an ordinary man. And unfortunately, sometimes people ask questions to that effect. They don't even realize that they are looking at Krishna literally as an ordinary person. And I'm going to be more specific, because this question was asked of me in Bhakti Vriksha that we started at Harrisburg. We meet at my house, and there's a couple of devotees, actually a couple. They started the same questions that I've heard many, many times. They question Krishna's activities, and they compare him with Lord Ram. Lord Ram was a decent one-wife type of husband and did everything according to the way we know morality to be. But Krishna has so many girlfriends. Why? Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita, one who understands that my birth and activities are transcendental, that person is liberated. So a person who asks a question like that obviously is not liberated, because they're comparing the lifestyle here to Krishna's lifestyle. But Krishna has already told us that his activities are transcendental. So we tried to explain it a little bit, and there are other, this is Bhakti Vriksha, so there were other devotees there who also chimed in and tried to explain. Because especially the husband, was in the very, very, very lively, very animated type of debate that was going on. Nothing, with anger or anything, but just he was making his points, trying to make a point very strongly. And that's okay, because discussions are discussions. You have to talk back and forth about different situations. Why does Krishna have so many girlfriends? And Lord Ram had one wife. But that's like saying, I like Lord Ram, I'm not so crazy about Lord Krishna. But it's like saying, I like personality A, and I don't like personality A. So who is Krishna and who's Ram? They're the same personalities. So the point they're making is, well, but Lord Ram lived this type of lifestyle and Krishna lived this other type of lifestyle. Therefore, I like Lord Ram better. Lord Ram was, by the mercy of Krishna, living the type of lifestyle that we are supposed to live in this prison house. Lord Ram could have had several wives if he wanted to. We do one wife, one husband. So he did one wife, one husband to help us to be able to live a straight moral life. But Krishna is above the law. He does as he likes. Everybody submits to him, and he's an object of love, and therefore all these gopis are very madly in love with him. What you want Krishna to do? Reject them? I was asking, you wanted to reject them? How would the gopis feel if they love Krishna and Krishna doesn't love them? Even just coming down to regular terms, how would they feel? And how would Krishna feel knowing that they're upset? So Krishna receives the love of everyone. Well, the gopis have husbands, but Krishna owns the husbands too. Literally, he owns marriage itself. So even talking about it in material terms, still we have no business trying to question how Krishna lives. And if we question how Krishna lives, then what kind of servants are we anyway? What kind of servants criticize the king? The servant doesn't understand his position then. So we got to understand that Krishna owns everything. We are minute, infinitesimal parts and parcels of him. By his own mercy, are we able to breathe anywhere? We have no business comparing Krishna's life to anything because we don't even understand it. And then one devotee also chimed in and said, which was wonderful, he said, the activities are spiritual. You may see it from your material way of reasoning, but the activities of Krishna and the gopis are the highest expression of love, and it's spiritual. We don't know spiritual love. We only know material love, and half the time, lust is mixed with it. So who are we to try to comment on anything about Krishna's done? So these are all, you know, people who aren't going to be liberated if they think that way. So we need to just do what we could to help them, because the guy is a nice guy anyway. He's a devotee. But there is no point. A devotee should actually think that Krishna has lots and lots of girlfriends. That's not enough. He should have even more. A person that's not envious should wish that Krishna had more gopis, girlfriends than he has now. Why? Because he owns everything. And if you really, 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 Krishna is a hero to you, why wouldn't you want the hero to have even more? That's a good heart. That's a person who understands their position. That's a person who is not envious of Krishna. If he wishes Krishna to have even more. Not that he can, but just a sentimental wish that Krishna should have even more. Then it's a person that's really submitted to Krishna. Not the one that criticizes, but we have a law like this and Krishna is not living according to it. They have to keep quiet. Krishna does what he wants to do and we accept what he says without reservation. And half the time we don't understand his pastimes, the depth of it. That's why we get help from empowered representatives like the guru. That's all. Therefore, we never should question Krishna's activities. We have too tiny a brain to understand it anyway. Anyway, so it seems like I'm ranting, but I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. So anyway, the Supreme Godhead, his incarnations or his devotees may pose themselves as ordinary men, but they are never to be considered as such. Guru especially should never be considered as an ordinary man. Guru is the one that's close to us. Give direct instruction. He should never be considered as an ordinary man. Even though his flesh and blood, as we see, the Vani instructions are from Krishna. So they're just as potent as Krishna himself saying it. Therefore, Guru's position as representative is extremely important. He's representing Krishna. It's like an ambassador for a country. They may be in a different place, wherever the country is that the person has been sent, representing his country or her country, but in a different place. Whatever he says in that country, that other country, is the official statement from the host country that the ambassador is from. In the same way, what Guru says, and Krishna guides Guru to say, not only what's in the scriptures, but also vigyan. Realize knowledge to help the devotee to grow. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, same instructions from Krishna. And so because the instructions are coming from Krishna, that representative is as good as Krishna as far as the instructions go. That's why we can't look at Guru as an ordinary person. And then it's not only Guru teaching, he's an acharya too, which means that he says and he also does. His activities and his statements are consistent. So we can, in fact, learn that way from Guru. So, a person that is, another point here that Srila Prabhupada makes mention, nor should an ordinary man, not supported by authorized statements of a shastra and acharyas, be accepted as an incarnation or devotee. Sometimes some people come to this world and they say, I'm incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is making the point that anyone that is truly an incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person's arrival or appearance is mentioned in the Shastra. So this reminds me of one lecture that recording of an early morning walk by Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. So they were talking, and you learn a lot of things from these type of, because then they threw all kinds of questions at Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada explains things. So one of them, and I think it's Harisarvi Prabhu, I could tell from his voice, he has an Australian accent, so you can easily tell. So he was mentioning that there was a particular devotee, they were in India at the time, by the way, all of them were. And they were telling Srila Prabhupada there was this leader, spiritual leader, whose followers were considering him to be an incarnation of God, of Krishna. Then they told Srila Prabhupada, that's how the followers regarded, but he himself hasn't said anything about being an incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So immediately Srila Prabhupada jumped on this, and he says, that man, when anybody is an incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead and making an appearance here, the Shastra would say, where is the Shastra mentioning about this particular person? And then Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that even though they're considering, the followers are considering him as God, he really is a person, Srila Prabhupada knew him. It's a person that worships demigods. He worships Kali. And it's said in the scripture that those who worship the demigods are those whose intelligence has been taken away. The reason being is that if you worship a demigod, you go to the abode of a demigod. But the abode of the demigod is still in the material world. Therefore, one had a chance to go back to the spiritual world through Vaishnavism, what we're practicing, and is opted to go to a demigod to get some material boons, and at the end of their life, they stay in the material world in the abode of the demigod, which is not the spiritual world. So it's been a waste of time. So those who worship the demigods, their intelligence are taken away. This person worships goddess Kali. There is nothing in the scripture talking about his appearance. So how can he be an incarnation of God? So that's how he explained to the devotees. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated, came here 530 years ago to help us by showing us the process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Srila Prabhupada backs it up by saying this whole point about the Shastra mentioning the appearance of an incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, by evidence of a Shastra, Sanatana Goswami detected that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a direct incarnation of Krishna, even though Lord Chaitanya himself never said it. Didn't disclose the fact. So we, and he answered by saying, Srila Prabhupada answered by saying that acharya or guru should not be accepted as an ordinary man. A representative of God can't possibly be an ordinary person. And a wonderful statement that's come also, that now those in female bodies are also going to be initiating gurus in ISKCON. The GBC has finally said this. My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, had said a long time ago, before even he left his body, that we're way late in making that decision. So at least finally the decision has been made. Wonderful. So with your permission, I'd like to go to another part of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj 64 Principles for Community Building. And today, with your permission, I want to focus on principle number 29. In principle 29, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, "This material nature, which is averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an examination hall. This material nature, which is averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, against the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lifestyle and wish for us to live that type of lifestyle. It's averse to that. Because materialism and spiritualism are, you know, just night and day. So this material nature is an examination hall." Well, so what's an examination hall? It's a place where people come to take tests. So that's an indirect way of letting us know that if we come here, we're going to go through tests. And tests are usually not easy. Tests are a struggle to overcome and to pass, but you have to be determined to pass. When some people in school come to take the exam, they are only partially prepared. They know the material, but to only a small extent, and they make mistakes due to the pressure. So they haven't really imbibed the material into their consciousness. Then they fall apart under such pressure. In other cases, a person may have, you know, been very, very focused on studying. For us, it's life studying, right? You know, just live the lifestyle too. But they've imbibed the message so deeply that no pressure affects him or her. Pressure may come, but they see it as the seasons, as it's put in there. Winter comes, it goes. Summer comes, it goes. A dhira, a sober person, doesn't get bewildered by all of that. So that way the student is able to answer the questions as smoothly as he did while studying. So we can see our daily activities as practice for what we can ultimately do eternally. What we're doing here as devotees in this material world is practice for what we can ultimately, what we will ultimately be doing back in the spiritual world. Practically all of the services are like that. All the way to the chanting and the dancing, it's all done at a much higher level with more facility in the spiritual world. The Hare Krishna mantra itself is imported from the spiritual world. So they have their tunes and they make more tunes. In fact, it is said the gopis, when they have a rasa dance with Krishna, they come up with new tunes. Every time, new tunes. And Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his intelligence, he's a source of intelligence. So the entire thing is worked through very, very, very quickly. No learning. You just basically just pick it up and then they just dance and really enjoy themselves. So what we're doing here happens there too. We are practicing by the help of Guru and permission of Guru and guidance to do those things that we're doing, that are done in the spiritual world. So then when we go back, we fit in. We fit in with more facility and certainly more love than we've experienced here. So the quality of our practice will determine our position. The quality of it. Krishna watches the quality we put in into bhakti yoga. And he also is very, 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 very watchful of what we hold back. We need to, and sometimes Maya gives a suggestion, you don't have to do this. But Krishna watches what we hold back. See, if we hold back, that says we're not sufficiently loving towards Krishna. If we hold back service to a devotee, it means we're not sufficiently loving towards Krishna. Krishna, we said devotee, we are still not loving towards Krishna sufficiently. If we hold back service that we could do to a devotee. Who is a devotee? A devotee is submitted to Krishna, and devotee is part and parcel of Krishna. So if you can help a devotee and you don't, then you have not helped part and parcel of Krishna. And he notices that. So we really should do the opposite, to be eager when we see the help is there, eager to jump in and help the devotee. That's what pleases Krishna. And then Krishna consciousness gets sweetened, and all our problems that we're having, especially with the regulated principles, he deals with them. And it literally is very, very, it frees you from all of the, you know, craziness around. You see it, but you're not affected by it. So the quality of our practice will determine our real position. Like a musician is practicing. The more practice that the musician seriously takes it, the better the performance is going to be when it's time to perform. They might even feel nervous, but because the practice is so good, the audience won't even be able to tell that this person is nervous. Sometimes, you know, people, when you see crowds like that, all of a sudden the mind goes crazy. Oh, boy. But still, they're able to perform. But a person that's not practiced well, even if the audience is a very, very favorable audience, they're going to make mistakes. And nervousness would cause them to not excel at all because they're not practiced well. So we have to practice diligently what we are asked to do. We already got the mercy. We don't chant 64 rounds. We do only 16 rounds minimum. And we can go back to spiritual world that way. So this practice is even a reduced type of situation for us. So we should take advantage of it. So what's the biggest test as devotees? The biggest test is actually death. What we do at a time of death. What we have done all the way before that death time comes, it's going to matter in our very last, if you like, test or very last question on the test of life. Are we prepared to go back to the spiritual world? Have we done what it takes so that at the end we would remember Krishna and go back to Krishna? That is the biggest test. That's the biggest test question. Our whole lifestyle in this life answers that question. The more we are connected with Krishna, the more we will remember him at the time of death. The more we call on Krishna's name, the Yuga Dharma is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more we chant, and Srupa Goswami has told us, not only japa, but throughout the day, chant Hare Krishna. In your mind, chant wherever you are. That's why Lord Chaitanya has said, there are no hard and fast rules. You don't have to be in a particular place and say, well, here I can chant and there I cannot. No, you can do it everywhere. So take advantage of it and remembering Krishna that way. Then when it comes time to leave the body, we will remember Krishna. Or Krishna will arrange for us to be able to do a nice transition away from the crazy material world and back home. So, we have to be faithful. The test of our faith, the big test, is to recognize that Krishna is there in every situation. He's in the background in every situation. Everything we're doing. Some people believe in God when their lives are unfolding according to their own plans. But when challenges come, then they lose their faith. This is not strong at all. Challenges are to make us grow. Those are the questions and the tests that we're supposed to answer in order to move on and become better and learn from. So challenges should never be looked at as a problem. Challenges are opportunity to mature more in Krishna consciousness. That's how a devotee is supposed to look at it. So, when we don't latch on to the patterns of the material world, the way people are leading their lives, then we are preparing ourselves for the spiritual world. Because it's one or the other. Either we're doing the material thing or we're doing the spiritual thing. So it's duality that's here. But we have a choice. That's why we're under the Tathasta Shakti. The one that's, you choose one or the other, the marginal. Go this way or that way. When we're able to understand the duality, in spite of the circumstances, if we're able to just go, not understand, but transcend the duality, whatever happens, we're saying we stick to Krishna consciousness. What is the lesson I have to learn in this? How does it help me grow in Krishna consciousness? Learn all of that. And if you don't understand it, then share it with someone that's more experienced, and they'll get, you know, and get information from them, answers from them, and use it to grow. Then you're becoming more and more and more spiritual. And in the end, with that effort, Guru will be happy, Yashat Prashad, Bhagavat Prashad. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada translates it that way. When Guru is happy, then Krishna is happy. Yashat Prashad, Bhagavat Prashad. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. That's a direct one. But also Srila Prabhupada sometimes explains these in a way that, you know, in a way to make a point that helps us in our growth in Krishna consciousness. So, by this statement from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, that the material world is an examination hall. So when we are here, we're trying to pass the exam. So by saying that to us, then we realize the hellish nature of this environment, which is the test in this environment. The environment itself is a test in of itself. So we'll get a better understanding as to how to go beyond the duality by staying with the purpose and with the process, and especially not offending anyone. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. I'll go through the translation of today's text, and then after that you can start six and ask questions. We have a discussion. So the translation is, the great saintly sage Maitreya told Vidura, "My dear Vidura, King Prithu lived in a tract of land between the two great rivers, Ganges and Jamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities." Hare Krishna. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. So, you can unmute your phones now and let's have a discussion. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Prabhuji. What a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
That was great information, Prabhuji.
Krishna's mercy.
Prabhuji, thanks so much. It was amazing to learn that Jesus Christ was also a Satya Vaishavatar.
Oh, yes.
I just had one thing, question, Prabhuji. He's such a prominent figure. For example, like Lord Buddha, we still find him mentioned in our Shastras, you know, in the Indian Shastras, the Vedic Shastras that we read. Where should I be able to find reference of such a prominent figure like Christ in our Shastras, if at all, or do I have to go to biblical reference?
What has been happened, what's happened now is, see, this is why it's so important. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, right? We go by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You've asked the question about Shastra. But the Gurus are pure devotees. Is everything about what we know in the Shastra? The answer is no. No. Srila Prabhupada lives in Golok Vrindavan. For him, it's a lifestyle. What happens there is what happens there. He knows it as a lifestyle. We have recorded information that we call the Shastra. Okay? But he lives a lifestyle. And so sometimes, and this is why the morning walk thing is so important, because when he's preaching, he preaches based on the Shastra. But when he goes on a morning walk, they throw any kind of question at him, then he responds based on what he knows about the lifestyle in the spiritual world. And not everything is recorded in the Shastra, even though the Shastra is so vast. And that's why Guru is also important. My Guru Maharaj himself has told me, he's also associated in the spiritual world, as are some of the Gurus now, if not from the spiritual world directly, in different places that have come, but from the spiritual world. They'll tell you about some things that are in the spiritual world. As a matter of fact, there's some pastimes in the spiritual world that are in the Shastra, but a lot of the pastimes are not in our Shastra now. The pastimes in the spiritual world are not in our Shastra. You may find out in many things like Gaga Samhita, Gaga Muni has said a lot of things that are in the spiritual world, but Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you may not find it there. Of course, there's always the 10th canto that talks about a lot, but even the 10th canto doesn't describe half of what goes on in the spiritual world. So we're saying all of this, the long way of saying that sometimes Srila Prabhupada would make statements that he knows of, but it's not written. I do not know anywhere that it's written, unless he himself wrote it as a purport. But this was verbal. He said it, that Christ was a Shaktivesh avatar. Hare Krishna.
Yes, we all sometimes forget about the Shruti and the Smriti as well. Comes with the Shastra. Yes, yeah. Prabhuji, thank you. May I call you sometime later today, tomorrow, if you have some time? Because I needed to discuss with you further. Because there were some ISKCON preachers that you might need to talk to, Prabhuji, to clarify some. That's why, Prabhuji.
Goes on all the time. Yes, any time after 12, between 12 and literally 5, call.
So you're in the East Coast. Okay.
12 noon to 5 p.m., anytime between 12 noon and 5 p.m. today. Or tomorrow, for that matter. But today better. Today is better. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. If none, then I suppose we can end. But anybody can jump in if they want to.
Any last minute questions, devotees, or I can end the call? No.
Okay.
It was wonderful teaching,
Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Vanchakalpa Dhrubhyasa Kripa Sundivya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vaishnava Thakur Ki Jai. Jai.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Glory to Shri Prabhupada.